Welcome to TV I Say with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting you closer to the TV shows you love. I'm Ashley Ray, a comedian, writer, and former TV critic, and each week my friends, fellow comedians, actors, writers will drop by to dive into the best TV shows we're all talking about right now. All right, let's get into it.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Betty's.com. That's Beddys.com.
Andy Richter, welcome to TV Club.
Hi there. How are you, Ashley?
I am so excited to have you here. I have been such a fan of you for so long. I am so, so excited we get to do this.
Thank you.
Listeners, do I even need to introduce Andy Richter? You're Andy Richter. I was obsessed with Andy Richter Controls the Universe. We all know you, Arrested Development, Conan, and your own podcast, The Three Questions, which I love. Did I think maybe we could do a playoff of that today? I'll just ask you three TV questions. That's boring.
Okay.
It doesn't really work. It's not.
No, when you have a podcast just chunky as The Three Questions, you're gonna be asked. That's gonna be involved. People are going to throw that back at you.
They're going to rub it in your face. But no, you don't have to worry about that today. We're taking it easy.
It's all the holidays.
We're just going to enjoy some television. So much TV has come out this year. And, you know, most of the places, they're putting out their best of the year list, best shows this year. Well, Variety decided to do something different. Variety put out their 100 best TV shows of all time list. And everyone is angry. Did you get a chance to see this morning? It is fresh off the press.
I didn't. And I usually, it's not like if it crosses my line of vision, I'll turn away. But it is certainly never the kind of thing that I really seek out much.
Same. I simply don't care about lists like this.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Because 3 years ago, there was one that people were pissed off about. Has there been that much of a change in the last 3 years?
No.
In the history of television? I don't think so.
Not really. And that's the thing, is that they do this like every few years, and it's the same list. I think for me, that's the most irritating part. There's never any like underdog where people are like, oh my gosh, actually, we're going to say Cougar Town was the number one show. That's not happening. It's always just the same.
The fans have spoken.
Yeah, the same boring critics.
Yeah.
So, number one on the list, I Love Lucy. Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Okay, whatever.
Sure, whatever. What does that mean to me?
Yeah.
Okay. And number two.
And it's also like, who's going to be like, no, fuck that and fuck her.
I Love Lucy. It's stupid.
Oh, yeah, that's a piece of shit.
It changed the sitcom forever. I don't care. It was boring when it came on at night. And it was kind of boring. I mean, watched it.
That's the kind of thing, like, those are sort of like Beach Boys choices, which, like, you know, like, it's like the Beach Boys have just sailed all these years because they still play. It always seems like, well, we're having like a political thing or a government thing. Let's have the Beach Boys. Who could say no to the Beach Boys?
Beach Boys.
Like, whether, you know, whether you're gay, straight, black, white, just it's the Beach Boys. What are you going to pick on the Beach Boys for?
Yeah. That's making I Love Lucy your number one. You're not going for controversy.
No.
You're making the people happy.
Right.
Number two was Mad Men.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good show. Great. Everyone's been saying it for a decade.
We're on number two, and it's already like, this is anti-Sopranos clickbait. Like, the whole fucking list is just...
Number three on the list is The Sopranos.
No, I know, but I mean, but just to put Mad Men above The Sopranos...
Ooh.
I don't think
they should go the other way.
I don't think it's warranted. Mad Men is a brilliant, complex show about, you know, the intricacies of humans and their reaction to trauma in a very interesting setting. Yeah. But it's not the fucking Sopranos.
Okay. This is a running thing on the show, but people know I have never finished The Sopranos.
Oh, really?
I've only watched like the first three episodes of the first season. It just feels like one of those things I need to sit down for a weekend and do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
While Mad Men, obsessed with it, watched it in real time. When I was in college, I got my wisdom teeth taken out. I'm on Vicodin, and two seasons of Mad Men were out. And I was like, you know what? Now's the time. Let me just get into this show.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into advertising. This is so easy. I could do this and make so much money.
Yeah.
And I did. Like, I applied to internships that same week, got into advertising out of college. And when people would be like, is this your passion? Is this what you want? I'd just be like, no, it just seemed easy on Mad Men. So I did it. You know, seemed like an easy way to make money. I mean, that guy's drunk all the time, and he can do it. So didn't seem hard.
Yeah. And that industry still, there's a lot of power drinkers in that industry still to this day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I worked in production in Chicago on commercials, and I direct commercials now and have been for a number of years. And you go out to eat with advertising people, you better be ready to strap on the drink bag.
Yeah.
Because they love to drink.
They do. And I eventually worked at Ogilvy, the agency that Mad Men is based off of. And every mid-level manager had a full bar in their office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not the 60s anymore. You don't look cool, Greg. This is just a problem. Like, why do you have a bottle of Fireball in the corner? That's not what Don Draper was drinking.
I think it just advertising gets to be the space of license within the business world because.
Yeah.
People are coming to spend money on magical nonsense. Yeah. And it's like, you want a drink? Sure. You know,
sure.
I mean,
it's
it used to be
numbers
from what I was told by people in the production industry in Chicago in the early 90s, it was like just cocaine had just happened. And cocaine, like they would do a Walgreens ad. And if you did not have a substantial amount of cocaine when the clients and the ad people showed up, you would be in trouble. Like it would affect your livelihood if you did not have a healthy amount of cocaine for these upstanding business types.
You gotta
to
get
snort
them in the right
all
mood.
Day. Yeah.
If Mad Men showed Don Draper doing cocaine, do you think it would be worthy of number two?
It would be a much different show. I think cocaine is still seen as like trashy. You know, it was kind of classy in the 80s, but now enough people know people in their own life who are doing cocaine and they're not glamour pusses.
Yeah.
The coke heads in my life are not glamorous people. So I think it might have had a little, it wouldn't seem as sophisticated and cool.
Exactly. The rest of the list, you got The Simpsons at four, Breaking Bad at five, Sex and the City at six. Let's be serious with ourselves.
No, Sex and the City is an enjoyable cartoon, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not quality television.
It certainly is not.
And then you have Succession at 13, which just feels like some recency bias.
Yeah, that's true. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Although that, well, that show is hard to watch for me because it is so real. And I understand it's the point of it. It's so relentlessly pessimistic and there's nowhere for your little tender heart to alight on a character. You know, they're all fucking awful people. even like the best people who are like ancillary characters are still kind of shitty, you know? Yeah. And it took me a long time. I actually haven't even seen the last season. Like I kind of, I just haven't, I, like I heard all
watch the event of the year. Yeah.
I know. I have a 18-year-old daughter who's pissed at me still, you know, because I haven't, well, she was pissed that I hadn't watched it already. And I had tried it. And like, I just was like, oh my God, this is like sitting in a room with the worst people I know, like for an hour at home. And I mean, I know baby versions of those people, you know?
Yeah. I don't know anyone that evil, no, but there's some characteristics where you're I know this person.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, I know selfish, callow careerists, you know? I'm just like, eh. And then my daughter really insisted and we watched it together and we enjoyed it, but I just haven't seen her. She's 18. She's doing whatever she wants. So it's not like we sit around watching hours of TV anymore. Yeah. And she's still kind of pissed. But I love that. I really enjoyed that show. But I'd be like, yeah, that was a particularly good episode. And I am wrung out. Like I am not refreshed and entertained. I am wrung out.
I'm tired and afraid of the state of the world.
Yeah.
Because I think people are like, this is how you got to be to survive now. And it's.
And like I say, it is an amazingly well done show from top to bottom.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It's just a rough. I had, you know, it's a couple of years ago before she got gigantic, Phoebe Bridgers was on my podcast and I had to tell her at the end, like, yeah, I can't listen to your music too much because I got the sads already. I don't need. And she's like, and she was totally like, I get it. No, I get it. You know,
like I can't listen to Boy Genius and have a good time. Like my friends, like it's not, my friends would be like, put on some Boy Genius and let's get ready to go out. And I'm like, what? You want to go sob? Yeah. Are you going like a funeral? Is that what you're pre-gaming for? Like it's just not, you know, that's not the thing I want from the TV.
Some people just, you know, they're built, they're a little stronger against, you know, sadness or just, to me, it's all sadness.
Yeah.
Like just the Succession is just so sad.
Ending is sad. And then people are like, but Will Ferrell produces. It's funny. And I'm like, no, Will Ferrell just produces a lot of things. He's just like, will I make money? Put my name on it.
Well, I mean, you know, Will also has really good taste and not everything has to be Will Ferrell.
Has to be, Will Ferrell tone comedy. He can like something else and want to give people money to make it.
That's what big shots do.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I'd just be like, yeah, sounds great. You go make that. Here's $2 million, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Andy, I got to say, I'm really respecting the fact that you did not ask, where am I on this list? Where is any show I've been in on this list? Where are we ranking? I got to say, Arrested Development is on here at 51.
Okay.
And this is what made me angry. You're putting Arrested Development at 51 and Sex in the City at 6?
Yeah. What are you going to do? It's a stupid business. It's really, it's ultimately stupid and silly.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm going to fire off some angry tweets. I'm going to just, in those quotes, you just, how dare you? It's Arrested Development. They have Community at like 100. And it's like, you wouldn't have Community without Arrested Development. You wouldn't have half the comedies on this list without Arrested Development.
Yeah, but that's 51, very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, I don't get worked up about it anymore because I make comedy for television. And if you start like looking for justice in terms of like what flies on TV and what doesn't, you're going to be very disappointed very quickly.
Yeah.
So there's just, I spend a lot of like, hey, you know, a lot of people like stuff that I don't like, you know?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I guess a lot more people watch Sex and the City than Arrested Development. It's true. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and I do want to ask you about Andy Richter Controls the Universe, a show that mm-hmm. I would put on a top 100 shows of all time list.
See, you know what? It was on one of these lists. It might have been 10 years ago, but I do remember it that show being on there. One of these lists, and it feeling quite nice, you know. It is nice when people say nice things about stuff you've done, you know.
And that's when I think people put on a lot of list of like cult hit, should have been bigger. Like, it was such a good show. And
thank you.
There's literally a joke from that show I think about every single day of my life, and it's the scene where you and Padgett are like sitting on a couch together, and you're breathing, and one of you has like a booger in your nose, and
a whistling booger,
a whistling booger, and you're both just like, "It's not me, it wasn't me, it's you, it's you, it's me."
You
just like say like, you know, it's me to like make her feel
it
better.
Is me. Yeah, yeah.
And I think about that every single day because I'm just like, who was it? Every time that happens.
Oh, it was me. I was playing that as if it was, in fact, me. That at the end, I was like, oh, no, wait. Yeah, that is me. You know, that's the way I was playing.
Okay.
And I'm not even sure that where that came from. But that's a beautiful example of a really funny, good bit and joke that. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Like if you describe to somebody, oh, I saw this show and they did this funny bit where one person had a whistling booger and they accused each other of, and then finally the guy was like, oh yeah, it is me. People would be like, what the fuck are you talking about? That sounds like the dumbest piece of shit I've ever seen.
I know, because I've tried to explain this probably at least to one person every single week of my life since seeing it. I'm just like, so the joke is, so, or like anytime I hear a whistling booger, I'm like, is it me? Is it someone?
Yeah,
and everyone's
don't
bring it. You're not supposed to acknowledge it. And I'm just like, well, if you watch this show from a while ago, see, there's a thing. But I have always imagined that your character was just being nice about it. So we're going to consider this canon.
I mean, it's a whole world in your mind now. So there's no, I'm not telling you whether you're right or wrong.
No,
but
you
I'm
are.
Just telling
and
you
we're,
how
we're
I
correct.
How I played it, how I played it, and I do, and you could have likely, you know, just because my memory is so capricious that, like, I'm glad you said something that I remember, because you might have said this bit about the pumpkin pie, and I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about, because that definitely can happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that one was, and then just Padgett Brewster, who I think is so like amazing, and she does these comedies where she brings such like elevation to them that makes them even sillier. Like, like she's treating it like the grand theater, and I love it every single time. So that stuck with me for years.
She's an amazing person and an amazingly talented actress. And, you know, she's off in Criminal Minds world, which she has fun and she enjoys. And it's been, you know, but it's like, it's been a rocky road, you know, like where she was sort of, you know, they kind of, it almost, I mean, I don't know exactly, but for a while, the people on that show kind of kicked her to the curb and then begged her to come back.
Yeah.
And, you know, so and every show is lucky to have her. She actually, Victor Fresco, the guy that created Andy Richter Controls the Universe, had the show he did previous to that was called like. I can't remember that, but it was about a group therapy, and Padgett was the therapist for a bunch of weird loser guys. It was called like Better Off, Just Off Normal or something normal or Matt, maybe you can look it up. But he had this show, and Padgett was the star of that show. And I think he might have had her in some other pilot that he did. And for a while, Padgett was the queen of failed pilots.
I think the show was The Trouble with Normal.
The Trouble with Normal. That's what it was called. And it was a very funny show.
John Cryer in it.
Yeah. No, it was a good show full of good jokes. But I mean, who knows why? I can't say it didn't work because this. It was like, oh, it was a funny show. But it just didn't go. And so he wrote Andy Richter Controls the Universe with Padgett in mind for that part, Jessica. And the network was like, nah, we've seen her in too many pilots. As if, yeah, but the world hasn't seen her, you fucking idiots.
Yeah.
So we shot the pilot of that show with a different actress.
Whoa.
Who was lovely, wonderful, talented, but wasn't Paget.
Wasn't Paget, yeah.
And they looked at the pilot and they're like, And Victor said, let me just shoot scenes with Paget. So they shot Paget like our last day of production, right? We might even had to come back.
Wow.
And they edited her into the pilot and they went, okay, yeah, you can have her. You know, it's like, okay, you can have Otani on your baseball team if you want him. But it just like that. And that's why I say, like, I can't get upset about the stupidity of it, because that's a perfect example of people who truly create nothing saying, you know what? I'm bored with seeing her because I've seen her on DVDs in my office.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, and so, yeah, I mean, I always thought she was talented and good, but I'm a baby. And I need constant fresh goo for me
fresh
to chew
goo.
On.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it's maddening, and it continues to be maddening. And then, you know, and then you're talking about a show that got dicked around for a bunch of dumb reasons. And so, okay, it's all stupid. Yep. You just gotta, you know, shrug and go, okay, it's all stupid. And occasionally, you know, you can sort of like sneak through and like thread the needle and get something good on, and it's supported by people that have a good amount of sense, but that's really, really rare.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Variety, just stop. Stop making these lists. Okay?
Yeah.
Just stop.
Yeah, yeah. That's who it was, Variety?
Yeah, Variety.
Yeah, see, and also there's like the source of it, and it's like what... You know, Variety is that list is not without its political implications within the industry.
Yeah.
Variety, it's there are
you know
human
who butters
being,
their bread.
Yeah. There are human beings coming up with that list who have contacts with other human beings who will be made happy or sad by that list. And that will benefit the people that made the list.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to make my own list. It's going to be great. The number one show is probably going to be like Happy Ending, something people barely watched, and it's going to be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit beddies.com. That's BEDDYS.com.
Hi, I'm Ariana Maddox. You probably know me from TV, or maybe you read my best-selling book and tried one of my amazing cocktails, or maybe you saw me on Broadway. What I can say is following dreams is kind of my thing. But of all the things I'm lucky enough to get to do, the thing that I get asked about the most are my shoes. What's my secret? DSW. DSW is the best place to get all the shoes you need from brands you love. Trust me, I'm obsessed. In fact, I love DSW so much, I've teamed up with them to create a collection of shoes from must-have sandals to super cool sneakers that are guaranteed to get compliments. Because if I've learned anything, it's that if you've got big dreams to follow, you're gonna need some really great shoes. Find the shoes of your dreams when you shop my new collection now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
One of my favorite shows ever, and I mean Sopranos level, is The Bureau. Did you ever see that French spy show, The Bureau?
Yes. My mom and I got really into it.
That's like top three. That show, I tell people about that show, and I feel like I'm tired of telling people about, like, just go fucking watch The Bureau. You
it
don't like
so
subtitles,
good.
Boo-hoo. Yeah. Read for a while.
Yeah.
Go like, watch The Bureau.
My mom hates subtitles. She was able to watch this show and is obsessed with it. That's how good it is. Like, you don't even care about the French eventually.
As compelling a show as there is. And it's like, and it's also like, there's so much high stakes banality.
Yeah.
Like, it's about spies, and it's, you also get like the tedium
yeah.
of what it's like to be of a spy, yeah. which is so fucking good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just, it makes every, if you can make people accept a situation as a real place, then when it's exciting, the excitement is that much more exciting. Like, if you show me the, if you introduce me to a world and you show me the boring parts, when it's exciting, it's going to be fucking exciting, you know? Yeah. Like, and even the boring parts can be compelling. Can be if you're good.
They're really compelling, I think.
Good at and making TV.
People have asked me, like, oh, is it kind of like The Americans? Is it like these other spy shows? And I'm just like, no. Like, those are constant anxiety.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But it's like, kind of
less
like,
wigs.
Yeah, you know, less Americans, wigs and a little
I love
slower.
The Americans, but the fucking wig and stuff, like that was, that just was like, that yeah. always, there was a cartoonish aspect of that. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, they're not, their spies are not get like attaching a lace wig
yeah.
in a car, you know, using yeah. spirit gum and sponges to, you know, to feather the makeup into this intricate fucking human hair wig. I don't think, I don't believe it.
No, no, it was a good show though, but yeah.
Oh, it was, I love that show. And that was one too, that I got to be like a total, just like, who gives a shit baby about. I was like, I watched it from day one, you know. Yeah. How some people are like that. Because there's a yeah. lot of shows. Like, I didn't watch The Sopranos until probably episode 6. And I was like, well,
I mean, you still got in early.
Yeah, I was like, people are talking about this so much. I guess I should watch it, you know?
You know what? Maybe I get a whole week off for Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time. Maybe I'm sitting down and I'm finally...
You know, you can't force these things. It took me yeah. forever. I missed The Wire. And I only watched The Wire like a year ago. My wife and I watched it. And she'd already seen it, but hadn't seen it. You know, saw it when it first came out on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
So we powered through it, and it's awesome. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's incredible. I've seen it.
I had a hangover, like I was living in Baltimore.
Yeah, like you
from
start
watching
to,
it.
I was dreaming in it because I watched yeah. so much of it. I watched the whole thing 5 times because I took a class in college my senior year on The
wow.
Wire. They offered an
five
entire
times.
Class.
Wow.
And I just loved it so much. I like anytime a friend would be like, I think I'm going to start watching, I'd be like, I'll sit down and watch it with you too. Why not?
Yeah, yeah.
It's The Wire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the time has come for me and The Sopranos. We'll see.
Yeah.
But now it's time for the watch list. What are you watching right now? What's been going on in the house? What do you got on the TV?
Well, we're in a unique situation because we're renovating a house, so our life is in complete upheaval. We moved into the house. It's a very old house. We're living with a lot of boxes, and we have a 3.5-year-old. Like, I'm recently married again, and I married a woman, a single mom, so now we have, and I've adopted her, so she's aww. Mine too. So we have a 3.5-year-old, you know, going on to 4-year-old. So TV is a lot of kid shit, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. That's really the age for kids and TV.
Yeah.
That's when they really start to be like, oh, these moving things, this is a thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And they, you know, and it is, they do, you know, they consume your life, and you kind of just gotta deal with it, you know? You can't like, it's like, honey, you're gonna sit down here and, you know, watch Nip Tuck with me. You know, you got.
I don't
you
know
gotta,
if I'd start with Nip Tuck.
but you know, then we give her the iPad. She'll, you know, it's like, hey, why don't you watch The Grinch for the 8,000th time on the iPad?
Gosh, yeah.
While we watch, and I mean, it'll be our go-tos. My wife and I, they're not. We're not proud of them, but Celebrity Family Feud is ooh, always fun, and regular
good.
Family Feud too.
Yeah.
Shark Tank. We started Shark Tank a couple, like, you know, like, and I never saw Shark Tank for a minute until we got together, and it is really a fantastic TV show, just in terms of you get 100 little interesting packages that have a beginning, a middle, and an end, you know, like, it's like,
yeah.
there's like these little pitches, and you don't even, you know, you can walk in and out of episodes, you know, while it's on.
Yeah.
The people,
you know how it goes.
Yeah. The sharks all understand the task and they do it well in their own particular ways. I enjoy it just unlike, you know,
you,
and I'm still,
I'm still old. Do you look up the products after? Because I one of my
absolutely.
Favorite.
Oh, yeah. I love looking. We sit there with a phone immediately yeah. afterwards. Let's see, you know, like diaper tumbler. Let's yeah. see.
Did it actually
oh, no, they went out of business.
Yep.
Oh, my God. They sold $12 million worth of diaper tumbler. You know. Yeah. So we do that. British Bake Off. We've been watching that.
Good one.
But then after everybody goes to bed and then I watch something, which happens, again, like this is twice a week we're talking about. So I don't have like a ton of things that I've been watching. But I have been really enjoying this season of Fargo very much. And I did not enjoy the last season very much. And I have I've always had kind of a complicated relationship with the show because it will do such amazing things and then such things that are like, oh, honey, stop. Like, it's so corny or just like weird for weird's sake, seemingly sometimes. And I there are times when that show does stuff that doesn't make sense, aggressively doesn't make sense. Like
yeah.
introduces like moment, like aspects of the supernatural or the extraterrestrial or whatever. And I do not mind that. Like
yeah.
I do not like there's all kinds of flights of fancy that I really have been like, OK, you know. I'm with you on this. But I, you know, then there's some others that I'm like, oh, really? Are we doing this again?
Yeah.
And you're from Rockford, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm from Rockford. Why do you know that?
Because you talked about it on Twitter. You talked about it on Twitter ages ago.
Pretty much every
yeah.
single day. I'm like in yeah, Rockford, yeah. Illinois, Rockford,
right,
Illinois,
right.
Golden Girl. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you can relate to like the cartoonish cliched Midwesterners that they present in that show
yeah.
where they're just like there was a couple seasons ago, somebody was at a big fancy bank for a big loan meeting. And the bank president goes, you want a cream soda?
Yeah.
Like nobody's offering anybody any fucking
cream sodas.
That is somebody
yeah.
that is a, like a East West coaster. Like going like, I bet those fuckers ask for cream soda, you know. I've never looked up Noah Hawley, but he might be from Minnesota. He might be from North Dakota. I don't know.
He's from New York, New York. He went to Sarah Lawrence.
Okay, there we go.
Come on.
See?
Grew up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Don't get out of my face.
Yeah. We're not all going, don't you know,
yeah.
all the time. Like,
don't
you know.
Yeah.
And I do feel Illinois is close enough that I feel.
Oh, yeah.
I feel definitely like you're talking about me a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm Northern
yeah.
Illinois. So it's really
yeah.
like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Northern Illinois.
Right,
we are
right.
a family.
But if you're making fun of them, you're kind of making fun of me.
Yeah.
And take it easy, you know.
There was, I think, in the first season, a moment where a character said soda instead of pop, and that did make me mad. I was like, how have you not done your research enough to know we're not soda?
Exactly.
No, it's pop.
Exactly. Like if you're going to play on, you know, on ethnic stereotypes, then at least get them right.
Get it right, okay?
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, they call a water fountain a bubbler, okay? We care about these things. They matter to our culture.
Yeah, it's always pop.
Yeah.
Get yourself a pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we love it, and I love it, okay?
Yeah.
Never let it go.
So I've been enjoying that, and I also have been enjoying because I recently, I was out of town for 10 days in a hotel room working in Atlanta, and I watched Haunting of Hill House.
Oh.
The cable, you know, series version of it.
Yeah.
And then I guess that same director has kind of, like, he's created an ensemble.
Yes.
And then he's done, Blythe Manor or something.
Yeah.
But I have been watching and enjoying The Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay, that's what I was going to bring up. I
yeah.
watched The Fall of the House of Usher and loved it this year.
It was really fun. And I mean, and it was surprising to me too, because having watched The Hill House, like that was really fascinating to me and like very, and I had to get back to the hotel room I couldn't, you know, like I'd be like, I want to continue watching it. But it was like basically like a ghost story about generational trauma.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, doesn't sound fun, but yeah. it was really, really great and kind of serious, you know, wasn't just, it wasn't just The Conjuring. It wasn't just, you know, a roller coaster.
I was kind of shocked. Even Fall of the House of Usher, which is also about family trauma and so many deaths.
But it's more fun.
It's so fun.
That's what I'm saying.
Like some of the deaths, I was laughing.
It's so, and then you're supposed to. Yeah. And it was just interesting to me because I started to watch a little bit of, I think it's called The Haunting of Blythe Manor, something like that, or Bly Manor. And I started watching it, and I don't know, I just kind of, because it's a lot of the same people, you know?
Yeah, The Haunting of Bly Manor. Yeah, Bly Manor. Like the same actors and stuff.
And I think I watched the first one of that, and I'm like, nah, you know, and then somebody that I was working with at the time who knows people involved was like, no, no, watch The Fall, skip the Bly thing, just go to Fall of House of Usher.
Yeah.
And I have really, been enjoying it and really feel like it's like if Ryan Murphy had restraint, you know, it's like Ryan Murphy with a little better taste and a little stronger editing.
Yes, it is like if someone just came to the American Horror Story set and was like, let me make sense of this.
Right, right. Just stop. No, don't do that.
No, let me fix this all up.
Yeah, yeah. This character should just leave. Get out.
Which, did you watch the last season of American Horror Story?
I gave up on it. I was so excited when it first came out.
Yeah, I loved it.
And it was just such, I have strict rules with certain genres. And one of them is if you can't kill the ghosts and the ghosts can kill you, I'm out. There's no, because you're
That's
dead.
A good rule.
The humans are dead. So fuck it. I'm out. If you're not going to build any stakes in here, then
point?
Fuck it. I'm out. Yeah. Wait, the ghosts can kill you?
Can kill you.
Fuck that. Yeah. No,
that
bye.
That was, I think, the hotel season.
The house.
Oh, the house. Yeah.
Yeah. With the, they can also with the woman that. From Nash, the Nashville show.
Oh, I love her. I love her. Yeah. How can I? From this, Friday I'm, Night Lights. My Connie Britton.
Yes, exactly. Connie Britton. See, I love that you're not remembering these names either. It's not just me and my fucking old brain.
No, it's just probably just COVID brain fog. I've had it like three times at this point. So.
No, it's why I'm such a bad showbiz professional because there's so many things I'm like, you know, that kid with the glasses, you know, from
the
other
guy,
thing.
The thing everybody likes that they're talking about.
Right.
And my friends are like, yeah, we'll figure that out.
And I probably met him four times, too, and I still am like, whoa, that guy. So those are kind of my, and then, and like I say, lots of Grinch. My daughter, I took her to Home Depot to pick up some electrical stuff for the house, and they had the Christmas stuff out, and there was a Grinch that you you step on it and then it was the original Thurl Ravenscroft, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. And he would dance and play that. And we had to do it like 10 fucking times.
Jeez.
And then when we got home, I was like, hey, you know, that Grinch thing that we saw at the store. And I showed her the original one and it has been Grinch, 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 Grinch. And that was like the end of like third week in November. So I've seen
are you like showing her all the movies like the Jim Carrey version?
Oh yeah. It's in a rotation. It's in a rotation. and honestly, she definitely will say, cause now she calls the Jim Carrey one is the real Grinch.
Yeah.
Illumination one with that Benedict Cumberbatch doing that Ed Helms impersonation.
Oh, right.
That one she calls just the Grinch. And then the TV special is the old Grinch.
Oh, of course. That's
so you have Grinch. To know the lingo. And then she even like, there's a Tyler, the Creator Grinch song from the animated movie that she insists on in the car. She wants to listen to the Jim Carrey version of the song.
I don't know that I knew Tyler, the Creator, made a children's song.
it's for the movie, and it's just kind of like a good, kind of like, remix of the song. And it's interesting, but it's also kind of like, I don't know. I would not envy having to remake the Grinch song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, it's pretty good.
It's already pretty good. Yeah,
it's
what
pretty
are we
good.
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she even watched the NBC musical.
Oh,
the live musical
the live
of the
musical
Grinch.
They did.
which was that was upsetting. That was just like,
yeah, I don't really like those live shows they do.
I even posted online that it made me, and I mean, there's tons of talented people in that thing, and obviously like amazing stagecraft and camera work and stuff, and it still just made me feel embarrassed, just because it's like, oh, just the all the acting, all the like. Capital A, capital acting. C, yeah, capital it, T, acting.
It just feels so like 1960s.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And big faces and everything. And I'm just like, oh my God, this, what I do for a living is the most embarrassing thing on earth. Just yes. Like, yeah, go out there and look like an asshole.
And
just okay.
Make believe for the children. Yeah. It's, yeah.
And I mean, and you know, and she enjoyed it. And I'm sure people that like, you know, musical stuff. And I like musical stuff.
I like musicals,
okay.
But for some way it translates
good,
to TV. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. But
I can't just go like, oh, it's a musical. I'm 80% there. It's like, okay, it's a musical. I'm actually at a -5.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to dig me out of a hole, musical.
Yeah. You know, this recent trend where there are so many musicals coming out in theater. And they realize that consumers hate musicals, so they don't put the music in the trailer. They try to trick you. So like the Mean
like
Girls
what?
Musical,
what
the
wow.
Mean Girls musical, the Wonka one, the Color Purple musical. They put out all the trailers, and people were like, "Why are you remaking Mean Girls and the Color Purple and Wonka? Why are we doing this?" And people were like, "Because it's a musical version."
But we can't advertise.
But we don't
it as
tell.
Such.
Yeah, we can't show you that because then you won't go. So we're gonna trick you into going to the theater and then pull the rug out from under you. Hello, there's a musical here.
Yeah.
Here's to the best spring ever in this season's must-have shoes. Find all the styles you need from brands you love at amazing prices right now at DSW. Update your closet with colorful sandals made for sunny days, fresh sneakers perfect for spring looks, and sporty soles ready for new adventures. Whatever you're up to this spring, DSW has the exact right pair for the occasion. Shop must-have spring shoes at your DSW store and DSW.com.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
There is, it does really feel a lot like, I don't think we're out of ideas, but it just feels like there's so much, like, you know, I got lots of irons and lots of fires, and one of them is game shows. I've hosted game shows. I've, you know,
I mean, you're like a game show connoisseur, I would say.
Yeah, I've been on
them. You were on Celebrity
Jeopardy,
and you got second place.
That's correct.
And
well, that was the last time around. For a while, I was like the top winner, top winning celebrity.
I was about to read the credit.
Oh,
Andy.
All right. Excuse me.
You hold the record for all time highest one day score on Celebrity Jeopardy, winning $68,000 during a first round game.
Yeah. No, I have a history there. I've been on it 3 times. The first time I won handily and did well.
Yeah.
And the second time I was on, it kind of got popular because Wolf Blitzer was on, and Wolf Blitzer did not do well. And people delighted in that.
Of course.
And I always felt a little, just a little sheepish about it. And then the third time was just recently, and they stretched it to a full hour, and I ended up losing. And I lost. I was well ahead, but I wasn't 200%+ ahead, you know what I mean? Like where I could have, because going into the finals, and it was stiffer competition than I had had previously.
Yeah.
Well, not to be cocky.
No idea, but like,
no, but I mean, no, but I mean, but also too, a huge part of it was I am now 57 years old. I was 56 when I shot this. The people that I was with that I was playing against are in their mid 30s. And it is an athletic competition
it is.
For the thumb.
Yeah.
And I the when I had been on, I don't know, 12 years ago, I was answering at will. If I knew the answer, I'd get it. Boop, boop, boop. This time I'd be like, oh, I know this. Fuck. Simu Liu got it. Fuck. You know.
Did he win? Did he
win? Yeah, and he ended up winning. And it was hilarious, too, because it was the night before, or it was like maybe Friday of, or it was either Friday or Saturday of Oscars, like that. And he had a whole night of like, Oscars or Emmys, one of the two, but I think it was Oscars, but because of the Rings, that movie, that superhero movie, which was really good. And he had a bunch of Oscar parties. And then that episode, the second episode for the winner was later that night. And he's like, oh, fuck, I got to cancel all these things, you know.
Yeah, I respect canceling his parties for Jeopardy. I respect
that. I know. Yeah. But I was a little annoyed at how annoyed I was that I had lost. And there was enough sort of like because there was triple Jeopardy, like it was the first time ever they had done triple Jeopardy because they stretched it out to an hour. And at the end of double Jeopardy, which would have been the end of a normal episode,
yeah,
I had over twice what either one of the other contestants had. So yeah. I would have said zero and I would have, you know,
would have swept it. Yeah.
I would have got it wrong. Yeah. And I got the last answer wrong too, which my wife is in the audience, you know, and she's like, she knew it. And it was landlocked countries. And it was this landlocked country has this, is the smallest in area and smallest in population of all landlocked countries. And I think I said San Marco or Liechtenstein or something, but it's Vatican City.
Yeah.
And I should have fucking known it was Vatican City. And in fact, the Vatican had been in a question earlier in the show. And my wife, who's, you know, a not very well practicing Catholic, when she heard it, she's like, oh yeah, he's got this. And then she said she saw when they announced the answer and she knew immediately from my react, like just, I didn't even feel like I let on, but she's like, oh, I knew you didn't have it. But you know, it's like, I'm not a Catholic and I just, and it is, you know, but it's like, it's one of those things. If you don't get the last answer, you can fucking lose, you know?
That's how it goes. Yeah. And I mean, I only knew that cause I took Latin classes. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Like my first thought was, oh, maybe Luxembourg or you know, Estonia, one of those. And I mean, and then I was like,
it's not anything you study anyway. It's just, you know, I got a bunch of useless shit floating around my head, you know, a bunch of facts and figures.
Are there any other game shows you want to do?
Oh, well, that was what I started to talk about was I've been pitching game shows and I had a game, like I have a game show idea of my own that I want to pitch.
I would watch any game show you hosted. Like,
well,
please.
Thank you. But I have been talking to people that make game shows and they say that the networks just want IP. Meaning you would have to do like a board game.
Yeah.
Or you would have to do like a game show based on Legally Blonde. Yeah. Or, you know,
Celebrity like Monopoly.
It has to be. It's like I made a joke to somebody once where I said, like, you couldn't make Master and Commander now, but you could make Captain Crunch the movie.
Yeah.
And it was like somebody that I was kind of like saying, this is fucked up. And they were like, you're probably right.
They were probably like, I would watch Captain Crunch the movie. But
you know,
that's how it is
everything
now.
Is like that now. So it's really hard to get a lot of stuff made because they just want it to be something else. You know, they want to be able to say, and that's why I say there's just like not a lot of new stuff. And I notice it too doing podcasting, there's a lot of people doing podcasts about hit shows that they were on.
Yeah.
Like if there was a hit show in the last 15 years, there are people who in previous times would be far too busy doing bigger, better stuff, who are happily revisiting their old successful old show that everyone loves because there are not similar kind of hits as The Office or Parks and Rec
or Scandal
or 30 Rock or Scandal.
They started
or,
a Scandal rewatch podcast with the actors.
And it, people are just like, and the audience, there's nothing that's as strong as that right now that I can think of where people are, where people have that much of an attachment to a new thing.
Yeah. I'd say maybe Abbott Elementary.
And Frasier, Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Abbott Elementary is breaking through there.
And I think it's because Quinta is such a student of old school TV. She is really utilizing that old school way of getting the word out, of getting people excited every week to watch this. And, you know, these other shows don't have a chance when they're put on a binge net, like a binge model, or, you know, they just are going through all these network changes where Paramount is like, well, yeah, maybe we originally bought the show this way, but now we're Paramount with Showtime and we're changing direction and we're canceling all this.
I would say Abbott Elementary. And I mean, I don't know Quinta very, I've been in the same room with her, I'm pretty sure, you know, but I mean, I don't know her that well. I don't have much to do with that show. I don't know the history of that show, but I can guarantee you, or as much, I mean, that's pretty swaggering, but no, I would say that is a show that is someone competent with good taste, and not just Quinta. There's obviously other people there too that are good at making a TV show.
It's an amazing writer's room. They have so much talent in there.
There are people, talented, competent people with excellent taste being left alone.
Yeah.
And that's why it's successful. And that the paradigm of network television is just so jaw-droppingly stupid at times that they don't see it's full of, like I said, people that don't create things making sweeping proclamations that, you know, we just want IP.
Yeah.
You don't know. You say that because someone up above you said to say that, but that does not make it true. It didn't. It wasn't etched onto a fucking tablet in a mountain that you pulled, you know, that you brought down to the Israelites. You know, it's like you just are saying this.
Yeah.
The same way that Matt Weiner, when he was a writer on Andy Richter Controls the Universe, gave me his pilot script called Mad Men. And said, no one will make this because it's a period piece. And they say, we can't do period pieces. There's no way a period piece would do well. No period pieces. Every fucking buddy in town told him that.
Yeah.
Somebody sees, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. This is a complex, good project. Let's do this. And then the next year, it's like, the movie, you know, like there's shows like Pan Am and, you know, like,
and then they all
pencil
try to
skirts
copy
and
it.
Cigarettes.
Yeah. Where it's like, oh, Mad Men works. Like, no, do all period pieces. And, hey.
And none of the people that told him no period pieces went, I'm a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Like, I'm an asshole. Yeah. They went like, oh, okay. Yeah. Well, now the new thing is like,
that's a different consumer
it's gotta be
trend.
Period. It's gotta be 50s and 60s. You know,
yeah. And
with
hey,
mostly white people.
Now Mad Men, according to Variety, the number two best show of all time.
Yeah. So. Well, and, you know, it's an excellent show. And somebody had the good taste to let it be made.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to say because these people have to validate everything they do. But the system is very broken. And as long as they continue to make shareholder dollars the main thing, things are going to be kind of shitty. You know, I don't know the way out of it.
I don't know.
You know, you're not going to convince people like to say, hey, don't worry so much about shareholder dollars.
Yeah.
They'll slap your fucking face for that.
Yeah. Especially you know? When every other day it's like they're merging, conglomerating. They're just turning into, you know, and it's every other day. You're like,
no,
this app is this now and they own this. And now I can watch 90 Day Fiance on HBO. What is happening?
Yeah. 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 No, it's, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's very tumultuous and it's still, like I say, a very broken kind of system. A friend of mine had a pilot. He recorded a pilot podcast for a streaming, a well-known streaming service. They made him do four cuts of a 45-minute comedy podcast. And this guy is a fucking just straight-on genius of comedy. four times, four cuts of a podcast, and then still passed on it.
Ugh.
Had notes and cuts and notes and cuts and notes and cuts, and then passed on it.
And you think if you're going through all that, like, they're going to do it. Like, if it's like, oh, we're doing all this back and forth. I had the same thing happen with something I was developing with a streamer. And it just was like, well, why did we do all of that?
Yeah. No, it's and it's like, oh, I see. So you're bringing the system of television development into this rough and ready, light on its feet industry that can do interesting, compelling things cheaply. And you're going to bring the fucking, like, dinosaur factory in here and let it make the template of how you do business. You're dumb.
Yeah.
You're just dumb.
It's dumb.
If you think that, like, just, like, some 27-year-old, it should be the person, like, deciding, like, what's really, really funny. If that person is not really, really funny, you're making a bad decision. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. I can't stand this industry.
Yeah.
Well, we are at, so this has been such an amazing conversation, and I could talk to you for another 3 hours about everything. I mean, oh my goodness.
Did we miss something? Have we missed anything we were supposed to get to?
You know, I usually share my watch list, but it's stupid. You guys know what I'm watching. I tweet about it all the time. I finished The Crown. I didn't like it. People got mad at me on Twitter, and a lot of monarchy royalists really came for me for not liking the end of The Crown.
It was terrible.
I just watched it with.
It's not even my show. It's like one of those things that I watched along with my wife.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't watched it all. But this was just like,
it's boring.
I have a little bit of sympathy for the people that make it, because it's like they weren't exactly, you know, when you're basing it on real life, they weren't given like a tremendous amount of material post Diana.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
it's just like three episodes of Will looking sullen
and just,
you know,
being like, do I really like Kate Middleton?
Right. Right. And then, you know, like in a montage of, you know, Princess Margaret strokes, just being like,
that was my favorite episode though. That was the only one that I was like, she's great.
It did make, she seemed like she was fun. You know, Margaret seemed like she was fun, but it was just like, by the end of it, it was like, oh, this is what this is.
Yeah.
About, and you know,
yeah,
and then weird shit like Kate Middleton's mom was
basically like a stage engineering mom,
engineering her daughter to, like, I just feel like, and I said to my wife, I was like, can you imagine when she started fucking Will, like, to say to her mom, like, well, I'm fucking the guy that you,
yeah, that you,
you know,
wanted me to fuck,
yeah,
all
that
these
you basically, yeah, that you basically aimed me at.
Yeah, I basically tweeted about that, being like, I can't believe this was what happened with Kate Middleton's mom. And all of these royalists were like, that's a TV show. You can't believe that. It's just a TV show. And then all these other British people were like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I thought everybody knew this. It was actually a lot worse. So, that's what I'm watching. I'm still watching Below Deck, the 90 Day Fiancés. We have 90 Day Fiancé, The Single Life premiering with a 2-hour episode this week. You know, it's the holidays. I'm not watching anything too great. I do want to give the listener some homework of new things that you're going to want to check out that are out now or will be out within a week of you listening to this. There's Dr. Death on Peacock. If you watch the first season of Dr. Death, it was about a Texas doctor who is a drug addict, alcoholic, and basically does not actually know how to do surgery. But he does all these back surgeries and kills like 7 people. And this is a true story. And so they made the show about it. It's great. The second season focuses on a different scam doctor, Paolo something. But he recently was in a Netflix documentary called Bad Surgeon. There was an episode of The Con about him. But he was this transplant surgeon who created plastic tracheas and swore that they worked. He put them in like 12 different patients and they all died because basically he was using a 3D printer in his bedroom to make these. And it goes into basically...
I'm sorry, but that's funny.
It's yeah. Like, there's clips... If you watch the documentary, there's clips of him just being like, well, can't we just use like the 3-centimeter one? And this, there's a guy who's like, no, that would kill people, but we can't print it any thinner. And he's like, well, let's just give it a shot then. Whatever.
Jesus Christ.
So they're making a fictional version of it. It stars Mandy Moore, Edgar Ramirez. It came out December 21st. And I immediately will be watching that. Good Trouble. We're fans of Good Trouble over here. We've had people from the show on the pod. The final season debuted January 2nd. So put that on your watch list for the new year. We also have True Detective Night Country with Jodie Foster out January 14th. I don't know what we're going to get.
Wow, never heard about that.
Yeah, Jodie Foster in the True Detective universe. I think only good things will come.
Yeah.
But I didn't really love the last season of True Detective, so we'll see. And then obviously this
I forgot to say, and you reminded me with when you said documentary. Did you see Love Has Won?
Yes, absolutely. I saw Love Has Won.
Oh.
The Church of Mother God.
The fine wine of stupid people.
Mm. And that's one of those Chef's docs kiss. I watched where I was like, we are going to get a follow-up within a year or two because so many of the people are still indoctrinated, still in it, and just kind of waking up.
Yeah.
But the fact that they just so clearly slowly killed her and she was just kind of like, no, I would go to a hospital. And they were like, you don't mean that.
Yeah.
You do not mean that.
Yeah.
And just the level of access. We don't really see that level of access with cult docs, but they truly recorded every single thing they did.
Yeah, it's all there. Yeah. And they also, like, you see there's a few cult members that you see in the archival footage, but then you don't see them interviewed.
Yeah.
So it's like, obviously there were a few people that had enough good sense to be like, no, I'm not fucking getting on camera.
Like, I did notice, like, there were two Black people and I really wanted to know their story.
Absolutely.
I really wanted to be like, how did you get here? But they never interview them. And I was like, I think they left and were like, I will never talk about my time with those crazy white people. No,
right,
thank you.
Right, right. Well, and it also, it's like, even somebody says, like, somebody had to put weed on the table. Like, it was so obvious. Like, if you go hang out with them, they will get you high.
Yeah.
You know,
that was
so it's
all
like,
if
you just want to get high, go hang out with them. You know, you got to say some mumbo jumbo and you might have to be on a live stream and get complimented.
And get complimented and, you know, drink a lot and deal with weird dudes. But, you know, they're going to give you shrooms. So.
But I interrupted. I'm sorry.
Oh, that is a good documentary people need to watch. It was definitely my top three of the year, which follow the newsletter. I'll be doing my usual best documentaries list. So go find that. And, you know, that's all your homework. There's so much new stuff coming out. I'm going to tell you, watch all those things and make sure you are also ready for the 90 Day Fiancé tell all. And, you know, the end of Below Deck. I hope we get a tell all for Below Deck Mediterranean. We'll see. It's kind of been a boring cast and crew, so who knows? But that's your homework. That's all I got for you. Andy, thank you so, so much for joining me. This was amazing. I would love to have you back. I could talk to you for hours about the industry, TV, what we're watching. Where can the people find you? What anything you got coming up?
Oh, I got the Three Questions, which is my podcast. Gosh, what else? Oh, I was a celebrity helper on the Lego Masters Junior tournament. And that's coming out sometime next year. I don't even know exactly when. I'm pitching stuff. I'm pitching stuff. I'm auditioning. You know, the strike really brought everything in my life to a grinding halt. And I mean, and some of the things that were kind of moving forward are still, there's still a ton of inertia around things getting done. So it's like stuff that was actually actively in front of people and being considered is now like, it feels like I need to get a big board and pry them out of the mud that's caked around them to get them rolling again.
Yeah. Where it's like, okay, we're back, right? We're looking at things again. You love them. We're doing some development, some notes. Where's it going? And now it's like, yeah, just wait until like January and we'll hit you up.
Right. Exactly. No, it's also, nobody does. The fact, you know, like they act, people in this industry act like they do something between Thanksgiving and the new year, but they don't.
Yeah,
they don't do anything.
It's a lot.
And honestly, you could probably start they start tapering off after Halloween.
Yeah. Oh,
like mid-November, they're already like,
by Thanksgiving, it's like, no one cares.
Why would I do anything?
Yeah.
You know,
and Halloween, it's like, everything's shut down. So my manager who is expecting scripts, you know, you're not. Come on. you knew you weren't getting it until January. Let's be realistic.
Yeah. So my answer of what people can see me in is they can see me in coffee shops waiting for January to come.
Yeah, I think that's the popular answer around LA right now.
Yeah.
Andy, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome, Ashley. Thank you.
Listeners, you got your homework. You got so many shows we talked about. You can go check out some old shows, some new shows. Thank you so much for listening. And we will be back next week with another episode.
TV, I say, with Ashley Ray. Another episode, another episode.
TV, I say, with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Anita Flores, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TV, I say. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon.
Here you are. BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.